Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everyone. Hi, hello. Hello, I'm Kay Thompson. Welcome to Kay Thompson Live. We're not in the studio. We're all over the place because there's so many things going on in the news, so many things going on in New Jersey, so many things going on in New York, all over the place. By the way, those of you, I hate to say this, but those of you who are going toward or trying to get into New York, and if you are going by way of, what is that highway? I forget the name of the highway as well as I know it. But anyway, it's 109, and if you're going into New York, guess what? You're going to have a lot of trouble. Just wanted to tell you, just wanted to put you on edge. So because of the fact that you're probably going to have to find new ways of going into New York by way of Holland Tunnel. So I would suggest that you put that on your top of your list for things to do and make sure you find out, because it says here in the New Jersey Star Ledger here, that the Pulaski Skyway, and it has 82 years of decay, by the way. So what has happened is that there's going to be a $1 billion worth of rehabilitation of this D-minus bridge. And believe me, I can attest to this, because of the fact that coming from where we live, Eric, Gina, well, Gina's in Bermuda, Lisa, Wade is coming from New York, so many other people. It's awful. It's awful. You have to go close to the Holland Tunnel. And if you're going by way of this bridge, if you're going by way of the Pulaski, you're going to have very, very, a lot of difficulties. So, therefore, you have to start planning it, because it's going to take about 2 years, it says here. It says on Saturday the Skyway is being closed northbound towards New York City for 2 years while it undergoes a $1 billion rehabilitation. Two southbound lanes from New York to New Jersey will remain open during the project. Wonder how they're going to do that. That's a crowded area. When you start from, you're coming from Pulaski and you're going towards the tunnel, everybody said it converges to a very small portion of road that really squeezes into about two lanes, and then it goes into about four lanes toward the Holland Tunnel, but it just gets all, you know, I have no other word, screwed up, because it's narrow, and so many people are trying to get into New York via Holland Tunnel. Of course, they use the Lincoln Tunnel, but this is those of you coming by way trying to get to the Holland Tunnel. So, that's news for you. You know, you may want to put that on your calendars. Also, I was so surprised to see about a friend of mine that I haven't seen in years, someone who was one of the first persons that I had started doing television shows with when I was on Channel 47, Canal 47, which is, as you know, Spanish-speaking. And no, I do not speak in Espanol. No hable Espanol un poquito, no más. You have heard the extent of my wonderful Spanish. I'll learn it all one day. I have to for my grandchildren. Okay. And I hear somebody breathing heavy. We're going to be talking to this is the person, Janet Taylor Pickett. She is a wonderful, award-winning visual artist and retired professor. However, Janet is such a fantastic artist. I showed a lot of her paintings, you know, when I was on a New Jersey press conference on WNJU-TV, that is the Spanish television station. And her work, and I've followed her over these years, we've been friends for a long time. We're going to get her in here because she's in from California. And she's going to be participating in what we call, or what they call in Morristown, the Great Six. This is the sixth annual for the Great Conversations. And in other words, they're bringing the art of conversation to life. And these great conversations is Morris Arts fundraising event that connects guests with prominent individuals from all walks of life who facilitate a thoughtful exchange of ideas around the dinner table. In other words, they're great speakers, okay? And the person I'm picking out is Janet Taylor Pickett because I haven't seen her in a long time, and she is a fantastic artist. I have some of her works, and I'm so glad to have them. So put that on your calendar. Look up the, or you can call the, let me see, where is this in the Morristown? You can call the conversation with da-da-da-da-da. It is going to be at Madison Hotel in Morristown, New Jersey, and that is scheduled for May 1st, okay? It's on a Thursday, and it's May 1st. It's going to be at the Madison Hotel in Morristown, New Jersey. And you can ask when Janet Taylor Pickett's conversation, when she will be on hand. They are all going to be on hand, but I guess you have to get the schedule. So please go to see her. She is absolutely one fantastic lady. And I'm going to get her on the show, so we'll have that. Another thing going on, you know, after I talked about Janet and the rundown Pulaski Skyway, let me see. Oh, there's a Stronger New Jersey grant program, I think, is in effect. I have just a small piece of this because for some reason it was torn. However, taxpayer money used to pay ineffective caseworkers managing the Stronger New Jersey grant program was money wasted. And that's according to one of the assemblymen. And they said that during a meeting with business owners in the Highlands yesterday. I was just down in South Jersey. And the Camden Democrat who said that leveled harsh criticism at Hurricane Sandy aid program, that program, which while meeting with business owners, who said that the program stinks, in other words. They were a little nicer than that, but that's what's going on. Because nothing is being done, and that's thanks to Jersey Governor Chris Christie. And yes, the problem with the bridge is still going on. As a matter of fact, it's even more of a problem now because they can't get the people to, you know, that they need to really testify and give the information that they know. And it's two main people around the governor, as you all have heard. Going on to the state of education, our obligation is to the state of young minds, so said John Cryan in the Star-Ledger. We need to make some changes to our higher education system in New Jersey. Well, no kidding. We've been saying that for a long time, and I don't know why it's not happening. It seems that college enrollment is up, but our graduation rates are still low. Prices for tuition fees, books and meals, meal plans are growing, but our students are less prepared than ever to enter this overwhelming financial, you know, commitment. And, you know, you can't really blame the kids because of the fact that nowadays, you know, you will spend between $30,000 and $40,000 for an education for your child. Who has it? But I think President Obama has an answer to it. You know, he's getting, I hope this will be passed for good, equal pay for women. And equal pay meaning that he's going to be raising the financial levels of people who really are less economically sound than people who are better off financially sound. Let's try to put it in that respect. But anyway, Congress people, the assembly people, are doing is they are attempting to cut costs for middle-class students and families while increasing the number of young adults who are ready for college and boosting graduation rates. Let's hope that this happens. My own granddaughter was caught in this, but she chose, and she does have, is a citizen of Bermuda, and she also has an American citizenship, and she has a British citizenship, so she was able to go to the U.K., to London, you know, for her education. And we're going to be doing another show for people whose students, or if you are a student, what to do when you are going out of the country, you know, what's the preparations that you need to do. Yes, it's a lot, but it's worth it. It's not, you cannot not have a higher education in something these days. So you have to know about these things, and we will be bringing this information to you. We've gone over it when Brianna was in town, and she was telling people exactly what to do when you are seeking higher education in another country, okay? And a lot of times, going to different countries, of course, you have to check the education levels, but, you know, it's worth it. Just make sure you do your homework. We're hoping to get Sahima on the phone. Is Sahima there yet? Okay, people in the control room, let me know when she calls in. I expect that Eric will be calling in. I expect that Wayne might be calling in. Wayne has had some difficulties in his family regarding illness, and we're going to be hearing him shortly after this, after he comes back. Eric, let me see. There is a political affair, I think, in Newark, and it's an important thing that he's going to be attending. Oh, by the way, in a little while, in a couple of weeks, the gala for Congressman Donald Payne, Jr., that's coming up. I'm going to give you that date probably later on in the program, but that's coming up by the end of this month, I think. My dates are quite off, okay? So we have that. Also, a lot of other information. This is the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act that we're going through. Also, Obama wants equal rights, equal pay for women. Reverend Al Sharpton, you know, people have been bugging him about this for a long, long period, and he has put this to rest, and I happen to know about it because I knew Al from years and years ago. People were saying that he is a contact or was working for the FBI. Well, he straightened that out. But there was a lot of difficulty during the early times of WLIB. That's how I came to know Reverend Al. And I have a lot of respect for Reverend Al because he was a young, fine mind. He led the movements. He led the marches. He spoke out against injustice. He really did. A lot of people didn't take him seriously because of the fact that he was an entertainer. He was also working for and with James Brown. And so what had happened, so I understand, and so a lot of other people understand, is that he really saved the entertainers in New Jersey, on this East Coast anyway, the East Coast, rather, from being, you know, swallowed up by the mob. The mob wanted to control our entertainers. They wanted to control the music industry. And he wasn't the only one fighting against it. I think, you know, some other entertainers will probably come forth and say the same thing. And what a drastic mess that would be if we could not control our own music. Let me see. It's 8:10 I have on my note. 8:11. And I think we're going to be going for a break maybe about 8:15. I'm sure the people in the control room, whoever is there, Shauna, Ayana, Mohammed, all the T's. But anyway, Eric, Wayne, anybody, you're leaving me here alone.
Sahima.
No, Sahima, you're on the line. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good, good. How's your throat? You had a real bad cold.
Yeah, I got a really bad cold, but
yeah,
in between,
yeah.
No coughing on the line.
Good, good. You sound a whole lot better, by the way. Listen, let's go right into part two. What I want to do is I want you to tell, or shall I tell it, you spent how many years in a jail in the Philippines?
Eight.
8 years in jail in the Philippines for drug trafficking,
yes.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and we did part one last week, and I have to say, Sahima is a very dear friend of mine, and she has been through hell, and she came through it. All right, so therefore, you spent these years. You were going to be telling us about what? There was another jail, I think, that you were transferred to? Can you pick that up?
Yes.
Or you want to
yes.
give like a little? You want to give a synopsis of what happened last week? Just tell us what happened, why you went to a jail in the Philippines.
I was a drug trafficker, and
yeah.
I caught, someone told on me that I didn't know, and basically that's what happened. And
mm-hmm.
I spent 8 days there. I went 8 days and stayed 8 years.
Well, how were you approached by this? You know, you were on the plane, and what happened? You were on your way to the Philippines, or you had just come back, or what?
No. It was people that I was dealing with here in America.
You
and
what?
It was people that I was dealing with here in America.
I see.
And they asked me to go, and so I went. I didn't think nothing of it. I was trying to make a better life for my sons, and that's the only way I knew to make fast money to get them out of poverty, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did it and got caught and stayed 8 years.
And well, how long, when you went to jail in the Philippines, I mean, take us through step by step. When were you arrested? Were you arrested on the plane? When you got off the plane, what happened?
No, I was arrested in my hotel room 8 days after I was in the Philippines. The day I was supposed to leave is the day I was arrested. They caught one of the girls, they say was my co-accused, but I don't know the girl. They caught her in the airport, and she told on me. She knew of me through her her boyfriend, who was one of the guys that gave me the drugs, and she told on me because whatever. She thought I was from Spain, so they treated me like I was from Spain, from torture to abuse until they found out I was American.
Were you carrying drugs for someone?
Some
for a connection that you had, or what?
It was for somebody, but it was also for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I could get up out of it, you know. I know it was wrong. You know, now I know it was wrong. But back then, you know, I didn't have my head on straight, and I was just trying to get my sons out of what's going on right now, gang violence, drugs, you know, so much going on down there where they were living at, to the fact that I couldn't stop it, but I wanted to get them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And it all failed. They turned out pretty good.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, they did, as a matter of fact. Also, now let's jump ahead. It was a horrible, horrible, horrible time, you know, that you spent. Now, we went over this last week, and if anybody wants to hear it, they can also go to GoPro Radio Network and go to K Thompson Live and give the date of the show last week. And last week's show with Sahima, with the full story, you know, with Eric, with myself, and that would be the April 2nd show. April April 2nd, 2014. Okay, so anytime that you, the people who are listening, my listeners, if you want to hear a show, if you want to hear one of the show about the vast interviews we've been doing on K Thompson Live, all you have to do is go to GoPro Radio Network and then go to K Thompson Live. My first name, everyone, is spelled K-A-E, and then Thompson Live, and you will be able to, as long as you have the date of the show, you'll be able to get to that show. So, you know, just try to hear them. You know, some of the shows are absolutely, as people have been telling me, fascinating. By the way, Sahima, before we go any further, I want to tell people what's going to be coming on next week before I forget this. By the way, everyone, we're going to go right back to Sahima. Sahima, are you going to be there? You holding on? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I know we need to go for a break. I'm waiting for somebody in the control room to, you know, let me know if it's time. Just give me a something or other, a signal. Not your hand, Steph. Huh? Yes?
Not necessarily the views or opinions of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc., or its affiliates. These broadcasts are provided on the understanding that they do not constitute professional advice or services. Individuals who speak in these broadcasts express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. GoPro Radio Networks and its affiliates do not necessarily endorse or oppose any particular opinion or conclusion discussed in these broadcasts. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute these broadcasts in any way without the express permission of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc. GoPro Radio Networks assumes no liability for any of your activities in connection with these broadcasts or for your use of these broadcasts in connection with your website, computer, or playing device.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Okay. Okay, we are back. I think you heard that deep voice. That voice is head of the GoPro Radio Network. And that voice is Ty Washington, who is the head of GoPro Radio Network. What a voice. Right, Sahima?
Yes.
He's got quite a voice. Quite a voice indeed. Next week, Joe Madison, talk show host on Sirius Radio. He's going to be coming on. And he's going to be talking about, you know, a whole lot of, he's a political analyst who travels the world, and he was just in New York last week, and I was talking to him, and he said, sure, he'd love to come on. And so he's going to be on with us next week, and he's going to be telling you all about his trip to Africa and other things. Also, we're going to be talking to Dean Darrell Joseph Moore, who is the professor of visual art, College of the Arts and Communication, and Communication Power Art Center. And that's at William Patterson University, and that is in Patterson, New Jersey. Now, Dean Moore, has traveled throughout China and a number of other countries. He is a powerhouse, and he's a brand-new dean at William Patterson College. He's African-American. So he was welcomed at a reception, and everybody was saying, wow, this guy has credentials up the wazoo. And there's a certain secret that I'm going to be revealing you know, next week when we talk to him. So we have two powerhouses. We have Joe Madison, and we also have Dean Darrell Joseph Moore. And so glad to have him. I know William Patterson quite well, William Patterson University now, and he is the dean of the art and lost the card. Okay, here it is. He is the dean of, got to put my glasses on these days too, you guys, the dean of the College of the Arts and Communication Power Art Center, and also the professor of visual art. He has qualifications that you will not believe when you hear him. He's very involved with Chinese art, and I am too, because the Chinese art is absolutely beautiful and aesthetic. Good Black Power, Black Studies departments out there, and a whole lot of stuff. So courses, rather. They have a jazz program that you would not believe at William Patterson College. I was there, I guess about a month ago to hear Latin jazz. And lo and behold, who did I see but Chico Mendoza? So Chico Mendoza was around, and he's still around, but the group said he was playing with and knew was Tito Puente, Tito Rodriguez, and a whole lot of other people in the room, so don't talk about them. And, of course, Pancho Sanchez. Okay, everyone, let's continue with Sahim. I don't know if Eric has called in. I don't know yet if Wayne has called in. If so, please just put them in, those of you in the control room. We'll be going for another break very shortly. However, Sahima, let's pick it up where we were now, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, once I was arrested, they kind of tortured me at first. And they
tortured
me up. Yes, they tortured me. I don't want to go into details right now because that's like key thing to my book. So that's not out yet, but it will be.
Yes, it will, and a movie.
Yes.
And we're going to be working on a movie. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and and once they did that, I was staying upstairs inside of the jail. It looked like a shack, actually. It doesn't even look like a building. It was raggedy and dirty. And then I was transferred to PMP Custodio. That's where they keep the prisoners of war and the kidnappers and the armed robbers and people for murder, and also the police and military.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed there for a couple of months, and then they transferred me to Pasay City Jail because that's where I was going to court in Pasay City, which is about an hour and 45 minutes from PNP Custodio. And
mm-hmm.
once they took the trial after 9 months, it's supposed to be a speedy trial. If that's speedy, I hate to see a slow trial.
Yeah.
Then I was transferred to CIW, that's Correctional Institution for Women. That's the main prison that you go to when you're in the Philippines. As a matter of fact, it's the only prison in the Philippines. They have no
what
jail.
Was that like? Describe the conditions for us, Sahima.
Okay. It was filthy. It was filthy. When I went into the cell, and I was like, oh, my God, where am I? It was dreary and cold and wet, even though it was so hot outside. And it smelled, you know, the stench was like humongous because they had me in the cell with the mental patients, the people with tuberculosis and hepatitis, and also the death patients. And I don't know why they would put the new arrivals, they called us, in there with these people. But they did.
Uh-huh.
And I was saying, where am I? And I looked around, and on the wall it said, somewhere. And that didn't look like somewhere to me. It was silky. It was absolutely silky.
What about, didn't you have any contacts in the United States? I'm talking about lawyers or something.
No. They wasn't allowed to really get involved. They cannot give you advice or a lawyer. They can only see if you're being treated well. But I just kept writing my counsel, and also friends here in the States was writing the counsel, and the State Department, and the Congress, who helped me out a great deal. And I don't know if I should mention the name, but
yes, go right ahead.
I can mention the name.
Yes.
Oh, Donald Payne.
Congressman Donald Payne, senior.
Yes, senior, and he really
helped
me out. he really couldn't do much, and I understand that because it was drugs, and I didn't really look for anything because you know how they label people when they try to help people, even though they knew the people before, and that wasn't my life before. It was the struggle and a spur of the moment thing, and I to this day I don't even know why I did it. I know why I did it.
Well, you were very young. And you were persuaded to do it, you know. So, and that's going to be coming out in your story in the book and in the movie, and how you were, you know, coerced into doing that. So, it's not that you wanted to, or maybe you did want to do it. I don't know. Maybe you thought that it was, you know, it was going to better you for your life and your children's lives.
I didn't want to do that, but that was the only alternative, you know. I'm not
at that
highly,
time.
You know, I'm not highly educated. I don't got a degree in nothing, but I'm really smart, but I didn't see another way. That was the only way that I could see at the time. You know, and at the time, I quit two jobs because I was working for 5 years, two jobs, to try to raise these boys. And it was paying a toll on me, paying all my bills, food, everything, you know.
And you just didn't have enough money to do all that, being a young and single female. Is that the truth?
Yes.
Is that what happened? Yeah.
So I tried, and, you know, I made a really stupid move. You know, that's why I don't want no other women to get caught up in what I was caught up in, because we trying to make it better. Because it seems like, you know, it does make it worse in the long run, because we hurt other people, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm kind of glad. I'm not glad that I got caught in torture, but I'm glad that those drugs never made it here to America.
Yeah.
Coming back and seeing how, you know, how bad the drugs, you know, is here in America now. And so many people are on drugs. You know, I feel so happy that it didn't, you know, something good could come out. I learned three languages over there, like I said. But
what languages did you learn?
I learned Tagalog, which is very fluent, Masaya and Ilonggo. Those are Philippine languages because they have over 7,000 different languages, but the basic language is Tagalog. That's the number one language in their country.
So you know those other languages other than English, right?
Excuse me?
You know those other languages other than English.
Yes, I had to learn those languages because they didn't know English. Those people over there, most of them is uneducated and poor. They didn't know English, you know. Only the people that went to school basically knew English. But the other ones that came from those faraway provinces that takes months and weeks to get to correctional institutions for women, they didn't know. Some of them didn't even know Tagalog, which is the basic language in the Philippines because there's so many languages. So they had to learn Tagalog, much less English, you know.
Yeah. See, let me ask you something. How old were your boys when you left, when you went to Philippines?
They were 10. When I came back, they were 18. So I lost I lost all of their teenage years. But thank God they had a father. You know, they didn't get it put into the system or anything. They had a good father that took care of them. You know, I was very grateful for that. I did one thing right, to be sure. You know, got a good man, because, you know, some men don't care. They just abandon the children, let them get into the system.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen.
When you came back, how were you received in your community? In fact, you came back, I understand that, you know, Congressman Donald Payne, of course, he was involved in getting you back. But
yes,
how were you received in your community? How did you feel that you had lost a lot? Did you lose contact? I mean, did people look different? You know, did they, you know?
Yes.
Give us an idea.
I left my sons. They were little boys. I came back. They were more with mustaches, starting to grow mustaches, you know? And everything was different. I was homeless. I basically slept in elevators, and I slept on the city hall steps one night, and the cop came by. You can't sleep there. I says, why not? He says, because you can't. I said, I'm waiting for the mayor because I need a place to stay. I'm homeless. And he said, no, you can't sleep there. He says, I'll put you up in a hotel for the night, and you go see the mayor in the morning. I didn't take him up on that because I was trying to make a stand, which was wrong because it wasn't the mayor's fault, and that was Sharp James at the time. And I sat there until I got too cold and went back to my elevator in the building that I was staying in and stopped it between floors and slept there for the night. And it was drained to go back the next day to see the mayor. I had nothing, you know, nothing, absolutely nothing. I suppose I came back to my old apartment, but that didn't happen. So But I ended up staying with a couple of people that was really nice to me that I knew as children, when they were children.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, a friend of mine got me into a low-income apartment.
Listen, I'm going to direct this to the people in the control room. If we have to, and when we have to go for a break, just let me know. It's at, I have 829 right now, and I know that we're just about due for another break, so if you're going to give me a sign, just let me know, and we will return after the break. If not, we will continue. So anyway, I haven't received that notice yet. Here I am on this line, and I don't know who else is holding on. If someone else is holding on the phone, whoever's in the control room, Taya, Ayana or Shauna or, you know, whoever else, you know, just give me a cue. Because, yeah, I'm here all alone this time. Oh, boy, is that sad. Kay is here all alone.
We're together.
Yeah.
Here we
are. No, everybody was getting stuck. I mean, that Holland Tunnel, boy, I'm telling you, stay away from it if you can help it. Because the, let me tell you, the Pulaski Skyway, I am telling you, family is stuck. Let's just put it that way. Everybody's stuck trying to get either in or out or back or whatever. But, and that's going to be going on for 2 years, by the way. So everyone, you will have to find, you know, different modes of transportation to get into the Holland Tunnel, which is then going to cause a whole nother, you know, problem with people backed up from a Pulaski Skyway from from Route 3 coming into, you know, going into, Lincoln Tunnel. It's going to be a mess. I'm going to stay out of New York for a while. So anyway, let's continue on with Sahima. Sahima?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So how did you, what was the process of you, you finally got out?
Ann Meaner with a...
Yeah.
GoPro Radio, fastest growing network in the galaxy, is leaner and meaner with a new attitude, new technology, and a brand new lineup. Tune in and get wired every Wednesday starting at 5 p.m. Eastern with the BCS Experience featuring Byron C. Saunders, formerly of New York City's WBAI. Then at 6 p.m., it's the Black Agenda TV Express featuring sought-out political commentator Glenn Ford, formerly of America's Black Forum. Then at 8 p.m., it's time for Kay Thompson Live with the legendary radio host Kay Thompson of Inner City Broadcasting's WLIB and her son, renowned actor Eric Payne, who starred in such films as Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, Drop Squad, and many more. Then, at 9 p.m., it's Food Wrap, featuring Nina Markel, a.k.a. the unofficial mayor of Jersey City, and former Viacom marketing guru Shauna Glover. Last but not least, at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's the Sexy Party Show with the bad boy of dating Mr. Locario of I Love New York fame and his partner in crime, Miles Cunningham. So get wired every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern only on the GoPro Radio Network, www.goproradio.com. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Back. Okay. And we are back. I forgot to tell everyone about the gala coming up. Congressman Donald Payne Jr., the gala is coming up. I think it is April 26th, so if you don't have your reservations in, you need to do that at his headquarters in Newark. I don't have the number with me, but all you have to do is punch into your computer, Donald Payne, Congressman Donald Payne, and you will get that all that information. Don't forget that event, everyone, and, you know, tickets are going. And really very fast because people always get them early. And the date of that is April 27th. And let me see what else is going on. Oh, I was telling you about the next week, and I was talking about Joe Madison coming on, Joe Madison from Sirius XM Radio. And he's going to be talking about, you know, he's a political strategist and commentator on Sirius Radio. And he's going to be telling us exactly what's going on. I think Joe was telling me that he had met with the president last week. So there's a lot going on in New York. There's meetings with Al Sharpton and his group, ANC. And one of these days I'm going to get over there. But with the work over here in New Jersey, you know, listen, New York isn't the only place where things are happening. It's happening right here in New Jersey, especially in Jersey City, New Jersey, where GoPro Radio Network is. And that's with Ty Washington and the crew. And you've heard Ayana's voice, you've heard Jordan's voice, you've heard Nina's voice, you've probably heard Muhammad's voice at one time or another, at least when we're fussing with him when he comes into the control room. Sorry about that, Muhammad. But anyway, and then they have the nerve to have Sahima, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Sahima, let me just tell you something. After we go for a break, you know, these guys, we always talk about food, you know? And I come out of, you know, I can't cook. I have never been able to cook. All right? If I cook, you know you're going to die. You don't live. All right? So you don't want to eat my cooking. I've always liked to tell the story with my kids of what happened with my father one time when I was allowed to cook Christmas dinner. And so I was, you know, made everything. It took a while. I was up until, oh, God, I think I was up all night trying to cook this turkey and a couple of other things. And my father got ready to cut the turkey, you know, bust the turkey and all that kind of stuff, and he did. And then when he got to the stuffing, all I knew is he said, Kay, one of my fingernails was in the stuffing. So after he was a little bit annoyed but tickled because he knew I was apt to do things like that if I ever attempt to cook. So, look, I don't mind not cooking. I don't mind not being a cook. So, Nina and Shorta, do you hear that? I don't care. But the next time I will eat your cooking, please. Thank you very much. So, Hima, getting back to you. So, what are you doing now? How are things now?
Oh, right now I'm basically working on my book, raising helping with grandchildren twice a week. You know,
I know.
Be able to meet my grandkids, because if I was there, because I had life sentences, I wouldn't have been able to meet them unless they came over there to visit, you know?
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been that hard, but it would have been hard for me to see them go. I've basically seen them since they were born until now, and they're the sweetest kids ever. I stopped smoking cigarettes because my granddaughter wants me to live to be 1,000, but she don't want anybody to pass away. She wanted to be 1,000, so I said, by the time she figured it out, Dave, we don't live to be 1,000, that she'll be old enough to understand, you know.
But I
stopped smoking, and also my grandson, I would stop smoking. Me and my grandson made a pact, if he'd be good in school for 2 weeks, that I would stop smoking, and I did. So, you know, health vision, and, you know, I want to be healthier.
Yeah. And now, after being in a Philippine jail, that had to take a toll on you. How are you physically? Do you have any, like, paralysis or anything, or scars or anything as a result?
Oh, yeah. I have both of my shins broken, and I have scars on my knees and on my forehead and over my eye where I was hit with guns. But, you know, other than that, I really dwell on that because that's the past, and I try my best to leave it in the past. And anything I want the next young woman that thinks that it's easy and nothing's going to happen, I want them to think like a billion times not to do it because it's not worth it, because you sacrifice your life and everything. And over there now, at the time it was life in prison. Now it's the death penalty 6 months after I was over there. Mm-hmm. So don't go to the Philippines. Don't go anywhere trafficking drugs. Don't listen to people because it's not going to work. You know, you got people, they set up for the big drugs to come out. And I don't think I was that person. I think the girl before me was that person. But who knows, you know what I'm saying? But just don't do it, you know. Because all these women that's listening to them, even young men, it's not worth it, you know.
Yeah. Don't do drugs, period.
Don't do drugs. Don't traffic drugs. Stay away from drugs.
Let me ask you something. What do you think about the legalization of marijuana?
Oh, I'm down with that because I feel that's a natural herb. And at one point, I was smoking marijuana to go to sleep instead of taking pills because the pills, you know, are highly addictive. And good thing I wasn't taking those pills because they stopped it. My insurance company, like, totally stopped it. So I would have been going through withdrawals and a bunch of stuff. I'm not into taking pills. You know, pills is a big thing now in America. People are dying from pill taking. And legalization for marijuana for some things, for medical use, I think they should go ahead on and just let it go.
Yeah.
But, you know, Christy, you know, I don't know if I can say anything about him, but I think he's going to wait to the last minute and have to sign because he don't have nothing else to do.
Who, Chris, Governor Christie?
Governor Christie, and run, run, run.
Mm-hmm.
Boy. But they should just go ahead on and legalize it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, if it's for medicinal purposes.
Yes, and, medical. But no other drugs.
Yeah.
All the other drugs that's legal, you know, it's killing people. Alcohol is also a drug, and it's killing people. You know, my parents died from alcohol. My grandparents died from alcohol. And that's such a legal drug, and they can get much of it as they want, you know.
Yeah.
All these prescription drugs is killing people. And they're legal drugs, you know. All the legal drugs is the worst kind. The illegal drugs don't, it's not, you know, if you do your research, it's not as harmful as the, not saying do anything now. Let's get that straight.
Yeah.
We're talking about marijuana here, okay?
But you really don't advocate that either if people can stay away from it. For medicinal purposes, yes.
Yes. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fahima, thank you very much. Hello? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Thank you very much. You know, we're looking forward to that book. We're looking forward to that movie. And we are going to be letting people know, you know, when that happens, because there's a whole lot more to the story that, you know that I know and a few other people may know. That's absolutely riveting. So,
and this
will be done to let people know how you can get so caught up with something, and when you get into another country, it's a totally different ball game.
It's just
so important that you maintain the decorum that maybe you were supposed to grow up with. So you don't want to put you don't want to put yourself in the position of being arrested, put jailed for anything. I'm telling you, it's really rough. Because, you know, I'm going to be doing stories on, the prison system as, money-making factories for very wealthy people. What's happening now is, and let me let you go, Fahima. I'm going to be doing, a little talking right now, okay? Thank you so much, hon.
Thank you. Have a good time.
You too. Talk to you later. Okay. Okay, what I'm talking about is the prison system, P-R-I-S-O-N. Big, huge money-making. Some people who have a lot of money are buying prisons, okay? And this is the way they are making money. So therefore, it's nothing to think that there's a whole lot of conspiracy going along and, thievery going along and people being arrested for next to nothing. For instance, we all know that the majority of young men in the prisons are black young men. Why? Because of the fact that even menial crimes. As a matter of fact, what's happening with the Obama administration right now is he is looking at, the arrest levels and the arrest rates, the numbers of people being arrested for low crimes, having some marijuana, having some, some small drug or something, and getting these long prison sentences, for years and years, and this not happening to the white prisoners. Now, I'm not saying the white prisons are getting off, but it has become a money-making machine. The prison system in the United States is a money-making machine. And what is their product? Prisoners. What color are the prisoners? Mainly black, mainly Latino. Okay? Why? Well, because they are. Okay? Because a lot of times, some people in our community don't know what to do, where to go, have no money, don't have access to lawyers, and we are afraid of the legal system. So we've really got to take a second look at this. As a matter of fact, we have to really not only look at the prison system, look at the foster care system. The prison system is something else. Look at the foster care system. The fact that, so many children are into foster care, being mistreated, not treated right. Also, the preschoolers. We were just talking about, the suspension of preschool children. From school, from public schools, okay? What sense does this make? And who are those being really in large numbers? Black kids, Latino kids, maybe mainly African-American kids. Okay, so what we have to do, everybody, is wake up to do something about it. All right, and I tell you, when an organization, now a lot of people think that they may have outlived their usefulness. Not true. The NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, is very much alive. And they're doing a wonderful job with Deb Smith there in Newark, New Jersey. And I don't know the people in Jersey City. I don't know the people in Manhattan. But the NAACP is still a very strong and a very powerful organization. And we should support it. And we are supporting it. Sally Carroll was the, Mrs. Sally Carroll was the president of the New Jersey NAACP for a number of years, and she just retired a little while ago. And kudos to New Jersey Performing Arts Center because they provided with her, to her, by way of her organization and the people around her, members of the NAACP, a wonderful tribute down there at New Jersey Performing Arts Center. So we want to thank New Jersey Performing Arts Center for doing that. It was absolutely wonderful. And Sally Carroll is still very much doing things and, you know, in charge. She's an in-charge lady, by the way. Okay. Let me go to another couple of stories that I have been wanting to get to. Still haven't been able to connect with Bill Katz. I think he may be out of town or something. Now somebody's trying to get in touch with me. Is there a caller on the line? Is there a caller on the line? If so, speak up. If not, forever hold your peace. Okay. The other thing I wanted to get in touch with you about or tell you about is there was a story years ago about five missing boys in Newark. The five missing boys in Newark. And, hello? Yes, are you there?
Service, a talent or something important to say, now's your chance to have your own radio show. Whether you're just starting out or a veteran looking for a professional platform to enhance your presentation, the GoPro Radio Network is the premier place to cultivate and share new and exciting content. We'll help you to grow your audience and keep it growing long after your first broadcast. Now you have a voice. Call 212-696-8562 today or visit www.goproradio.com and you'll be amazed at how easy and affordable it is to have your own radio show on the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network. The fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Yes. Yes, don't forget to listen to the voices in your head. Why do we want to listen to the voices in our head? Why can't we just turn to GoPro Radio Network and turn to Kay Thompson Live and then listen to me? You know I know everything. Sure I do. Okay. Anyway, everyone, we're back. We're back, Kay Thompson Live. We do news, information, education, all kinds of things of interest, and try to bring you very interesting things that you can use. And I was just talking about this story that happened some time ago. The man accused of masterminding one of Newark's most haunting murder cases had filed suit against the Essex County Prosecutor's Office in Newark and claiming that he was the victim of political conspiracy by the Newark Police Department and U.S. Senator Cory Booker. And so his name is, Lee Evans, and he had pointed to the fact that a grand jury failed to indict him on murder charges twice. Now, there were five boys involved in this, and this was in Newark, and they disappeared in 1978. What had happened was that he was acquitted of murder in 2011. Now, this system is not about justice. It's not about justice at all, Evans 60 said in a recent interview. It's about two things, a win and a loss. The five boys were, he had hired the five boys to do some work for him, and they didn't come home. They disappeared. They were from Newark and East Orange, New Jersey, and they, no one found them for years and years and years and years. I don't think they ever found them, really. And then this also involved psychics coming in. One of those psychics who came in was John Monte. John Monte came in at the behest of the Newark Police Department and Andy Cooper from the City Sun, who was on that story, and we were doing that from WLIB. And we had talked to John Monte, who was a psychic. He was one of the psychics coming into Newark to try to find out if he could, you know, locate or have any feelings about what had happened. And he did. I know the story because I was there with him, and we'll put that story is going in a book one of these days. It's not complete. It's not finished. But anyway, Evans was found not guilty. So now he's suing the police department because the fact for, I don't even know what it was for, he's really suing them because I think, let me see. He, by the way, he represented himself. So that goes to show you that they were, I don't know how that happened, but he was acquitted of murder in 2011. And he was saying that this system is not about justice, it's about justice at all. But anyway, there's a whole lot more to it. Now, there are a lot of people who maintain that he did that, including one of the boy's sisters. Okay? And we have a little more information on that because my group was involved. We had talked to the police department. We were following this case and so forth. Okay. Now, that's that story. Anyway, there's another story I wanted to touch on, and that's by John Farmer, who's a really good writer. He writes for the New Jersey Star Ledger and a few other places, I think. And he was talking about, campaign financing ruling. It's not about the money, the billions involved. It's about free speech, a sacred constitutional guarantee. In other words, there is so much money that some of these super billionaires have. What they're doing is they're buying votes. They're buying politicians. So therefore, their billions of dollars, really, as the according to the Sunday Star Ledger, they're saying that the Koch brothers and their billions of dollars, they're making America more dangerous. Why? Because these politicians don't have the freedom of speech anymore, especially when you dangle a whole lot of money in front of them. All right, so no one knows what to do about this at this particular point. But there are people in high places who all of a sudden get a huge amount of money, and they just cannot resist, you know, being tempted by the mouse. For instance, if you look at the Republicans, Republicans have a lot of money. They can buy their way politicians. All of a sudden, people, you know, if they're getting money into their coffers, into their pockets, it's gone. They will, you know, there's some politicians that can be bought. There's no doubt about it, and that is happening. But we will see what President Obama is going to be doing. Right now, he's really passing things for equal pay, equal rights, and, you know, for women to get the money that they deserve. I don't know how anybody can really, you know, resist this. I don't even know why we have allowed for women to be mistreated in such a way so that they don't get equal pay for equal jobs the same way as that men do. That's absolutely absurd and ridiculous. So I don't know how in the world that happens. But anyway, we're coming to... I'm sitting on my phone here, and we're coming to, we're going to see what happens here. You're on the air. Hello? You're on the air. You're on the air. Oh, I'm getting messages in. We're getting messages in. Okay, got to go. All right, I haven't, believe me, I have a system sitting here. On my desk that you will not believe. But anyway, listen, I wanted to tell you about this before we go. It's now 8:52. Bill Katz, I didn't get back to him when he was scheduled. We got the times mixed up, and so therefore we could not get to Bill Katz. You know, Bill Katz is one of the most prolific writers on African-American history, you know, ever. And he just happens to be white, and yet he has written all these books on African-American history. You do want to use him with the when you teach black other books first, you know? Okay. So anyway, Black Indians is by William Katz. I have another call coming in. This is on the other phone. Let me see what we're doing here. Yes, you're on the air. Somebody is writing me a text. Can't do it right now. Okay. Anyway, if you want to get this book, it's really, really very interesting. Interesting. It tells, you know, about our heritage, you know, and I heard somebody on the radio, on television, one of the talk show people say, making fun of the fact that, you know, black people are always claiming they're part Indian. No, they're not claiming they're part Indian. In some of these cases, in fact, a whole lot of the cases, we are. And to deny who you are, no matter what it is, you know, is absolutely ridiculous. And to have, a talk show host, make light of it, you know, is ridiculous. So he wrote this book, and he says in the book that Black Indians is a book that gives us much usable, nearly lost, invaluable history and makes contemporary comprehensions of alliances between and among peoples impossible. This is a guide to the real American, and this was written by Alex Walker for Bill Katz's book. Okay? All right. Now, we're at 8:54. Something else I wanted to tell you to get AXO, the NAACP AXO event is going to be going on. So that's happening. And, okay, what else do I have here? So many things. Jasper Dean Cobes at Cobes Bambula store in Kurtztown, Pennsylvania. She is a lady that I used to talk to on WLIB who was dealing with, African-American women. She goes back and forth to Africa, does business with African women who are in business for themselves. And the products that she has in her store in Kurtztown, Pennsylvania, absolutely fantastic. So if you're ever in Kurtztown, Philadelphia, just stop in. You can easily find out where Bambula is, B-A-M-B-O-U-L-A. As a matter of fact, she will be on with me when she gets back from her latest visit in one of the Africas. So anyway, we're about ready to tie up everything, everybody. But want to tell you about one thing. I have not forgotten about Sonny Sutherland's case. Okay, we have not forgotten about Sonny Sutherland's case. The highest court in the land upheld, a decision from the United States Court of Appeals, Second Circuit, allowing Sonny Sutherland to sue Timothy Wu, the ACS caseworker, who submitted false statements to a family court judge in order to obtain a warrant which led to the wrongful removal of Sonny's children from their home. Now, this dates back to 1997, and we will be talking about this again. Sonny, we have not forgotten this. We will never forget this, okay? And we were always going to keep this in front of the city because you won your case. You got your kids back, but that's so damaging. But the judge would not allow it to go any further. So this is what I understand, and Sonny will be talking to you at another time also. We are at 8:56, I think. 8:56. Now, if you want to give me a message, somebody there in the control room, go right ahead. Tell me it's over. It's over. Bye. Bye, all.